afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Review here on Planet 104.6 FM. What a great weekend of sports it's been. I was down at Gribblehurst Park watching our Eden Premiers give suburbs a good old caning. It was great weekend for Eden. We actually, all our teams won. There was some great Super Rugby on at the weekend. We're going to speak about, so that's the positive part. We may have to speak to poor old Frank about the Warriors at this stage. But that's what the sporting weekend was like. Fantastic day here in Auckland, a bit cloudy and overcast. We're going to head straight to Super Rugby after this. Okay, that was our intro music. First of all, before I start the show, this show is proudly sponsored by a very, very good friend of mine, Robert Thompson from Barford and Thompson Epsom Branch. He's kindly offered to sponsor this first show. On the line, we have All Black legend Buck Shelford. We're going to speak a bit about rugby today, so I'll just try and get Buck on the line. Good afternoon, Buck. It's Eamon here from Planet FM. How are you going, mate?
Very good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, good. Thanks for coming on the show. Obviously, a very, very good weekend of Super Rugby. A lot of two very, very titanic games. Obviously, the first game we'll probably go to is a game over the weekend where the Hurricanes 29 and the Blues 27. Fantastic! It was a fantastic game. What was your thoughts from that game, Buck?
Yeah, it was a very good game. I thought that the Hurricanes started off very, very well. And, you know, to be up within 7 points up, then I think they went to 10 mm-hmm. within, you know, the first couple of minutes of the game was just, they showed their intent straight away. And I think Lani Mumapi actually had a brilliant game.
Outstanding, Bucky. He absolutely skinned Bowden Barrett on the outside for that first try.
Yeah, you don't see that happen too often, do you?
No, not at all. No,
I think it's very hard. You know, Bowden came up and Lani actually gave him a bit of that step, but it took a, you know, that gap was always there all the way too, wasn't it? You know, and just shows you how fast Lani is. He's pretty quick, man. He doesn't look quick at times.
He's got very deceptive pace.
Yeah, very, very.
It reminded me of you coming off the scrum, Buck.
Oh, yeah, but I had nothing but people in front of me all day.
Hey, just one thing I did notice out of that game was, he's a name that doesn't get mentioned very often. Tyrell Lomax is a very, very good scrummager.
Yeah, we're bringing on some nice kids today, you know, some nice young men who are strong and they've got their game together big time. And, yeah, Tyrone Lomax, you know, he's a good footballer. And so the thing is, if he carries on the way he's going, you never know, they could be hired on as well.
Yeah, well,
if you can play both sides of the scrum, it makes it a big deal if you can do that.
Well, it makes him more versatile for the All Blacks as well, too. Also, Dalton Papalihi, I tell you what, that guy's got some outstanding defence in the last couple of weeks. He's been absolutely terrific. Yeah.
Dalton, they had a good game again. He's pretty solid, I think, you know, and... you know, he's up there as a blindsider or come open side, you know. He's a very good footballer and he's busy all day, which is good. That's what you expect of flankers to be busy. And I think that, the All Black jersey could be calling him as well.
Well, he's probably not far off there. And obviously the other thing, when I look back at that game, there's been a lot of criticism of Bowden Barrett. I personally feel that he is more suited to 10. I believe I'd love to see him at 10 where he's got that ball, a good flat on ball where he can run into that line where he can lead the back line around.
Well, I think there was a bit of, you know, when he actually came into 10 after... young Ōtere actually got a little bit concussed, or HIA, I thought that he did change the game slightly with his look at the, you know, sitting at 10. And that's what you do. You everyone's got a different way of looking at the game, and Ōtere is quite different compared to our current number 10, and All Black number 10, and he did change the game, and they just couldn't sustain it at the end. You know, the firepower of the Hurricanes to keep fighting back, you know, just get back, and other, you know, we just dropped a few, missed a few tackles late in the game, and turned over the ball a couple of times, and gave away the crucial little penalties that got them into the zone for scoring positions, you know.
Absolutely. Now we'll move on to yesterday's game. Now, that was a definitely a game of two halves, as they would call it. But I have to say that if you're the Chiefs, you probably couldn't even win a meat raffle down at your local RSA.
Well, that's probably true. You know, and something as they've been so close, but they just haven't been finishing off well. You know, they were controlling the game. You know, most of the game in the first half, they were controlling it big time, and then, you know, come second half, you know, I believe that the Highlanders had to look at themselves. What they were doing wasn't working. So then they actually started to express themselves a lot more in the second half, and they did. And again, you know, the different characteristics of guys coming into number 10 changed the face of the game. And I thought Ione had a pretty good game when he came on.
Yeah, he was quite outstanding, and he did lead them around. I'm just going to mention, and when I looked at that first half, I thought Leonard Brown was outstanding. Damien McKenzie was coming into a bit of form, but a guy that's caught my eyes during this has been for the Chiefs has been Bradley Slater. I think he could be a bolter for the All Blacks.
Well, they're always looking for props. You know, you mentioned Tyrone from the Hurricanes.
No, he's a hooker, Buck.
Oh, hooker, sorry. And but Tyrone from there, you know, hooker, it's a front rower. You know, and the thing is, you know, we're just building a nice pool of good front rowers at the moment. And, you know, it's one of these things that you can't hurry people. But if you're an incumbent in the All Blacks and you're in that top 30, you have to make sure you keep performing. Otherwise, there's going to be guys taking the position pretty quickly. And that's the thing with these young guys like Slater coming in behind and Tyrone as a hooker. You know, we've got two good hookers at the moment, but we need three or four of them.
I think he comes from good stock. He comes from very good stock. Does Bradley Slater is nephew of Gordon Slater, son of Andy Slater. So yeah, just and of course Aaron Smith. He is the best halfback in New Zealand. He's proven it time and time again. I was very, very impressed with Aaron Smith. Thought that he really has taken on that a bit of a leadership role at the Highlanders.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I've been watching, you know, the Highlanders for years because, you know, it's one of my teams. I like supporting them. But Aaron brings the whole of the team have bought into it. The speed of the way they're playing is just so much quicker than anybody else. And I think that that's one of the keys that they're very good when they get the ball into their hands and they speed up the game.
Absolutely.
Once Aaron gets in there and clears that ball, he's probably the quickest in New Zealand at the moment. A couple of the other halfbacks are still looking, you know, still watching. They're looking for people to get around the corner to pass to. But Aaron's always there, and he's got somebody offload to all the time. It's in a good position to move the ball. And I think that's one of their keys is the speed they play, and their recycling of the pill is so clean compared to some of the other teams.
Absolutely, Buck. Well, I have to say it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm getting my words wrong. First day on there, Buck, and I know you've said to me, listen, this will be a once off. I really hope to get you back on air because I think what we've heard is an outstanding way of looking at the game. And of course, Buck Shelford, complete legend. Buck, I'll have a quick chat to you off air. Thank you very, very much. We'll just get some music on.
No problem, Evan. Okay.
That was you too with the streets where the streets have no name. And joining me online for our NRL wrap is former Kiwis coach, former Warriors coach, former Wigan Warriors coach, legend calling from his we're having a few difficulties here. Okay, he's on the line. He's from Kaiapoi in Canterbury. It's Frank Endicott. Frank, can you hear me?
I hear you clear as a bell, actually, Eamon.
Yeah, thank goodness. This is all a bit new to me, Frank, so obviously, it's a bit rough. How did Kaiapoi go at the weekend, Frank?
We had another win, currently unbeaten at the moment and leading the table, so I hope it continues. But we had a tough one against the Aranui Eagles.
They must have a good coach helping them.
Yeah, no, I'm just an assistant coach, mate, these days. Just a minor part.
Very, very good. Okay, before we start off on our NRL wrap, we better address the elephant in the room, the Warriors. I watched part of it yesterday, Frank, and it was, to be without being too unkind, it was absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, and no one would disagree with you, Eamon. It really was hard viewing. I was really disappointed halfway through, and then I turned into being angry. I just thought they should have showed a lot more fight than they did, and they really just gave it away. And they got a consolation try at the end, which made it 46-10. But no, very disappointing. And of course, an ex-warrior, a former warrior, Sean Johnson, was the he was the culprit in turning the big win into for the Cronulla Sharks. Yeah, I thought he played brilliant.
Yeah, I felt him and Chad Townsend, who's also another former Warrior, actually combined very, very well. They're actually developing into a very, very good halves pairing. Obviously, the talk around is about the Walker brothers, who coach up in Queensland, have been touted as possible Warriors coaches. I've read a little bit into their history. Seems that they've done very well at Queensland Cup level, and obviously with Queensland Cup, they probably would know a lot of very good NRL players through their development through it. What's your opinion on that?
Well, there's a big jump from Q Cup into first grade in the NRL, I can tell you that. They have got a reasonable record in the Q Cup, and they'll have plenty of contacts there to come across, but we're talking about Q Cup players, and I think we've got a few of those now, to be fair. I think we need to be looking at higher level players. And if I was the current stand-in coach, Todd Payton, I'd be a little bit miffed about that because... you know, they've done no more than what he's done. In fact, he's been at first grade level as an assistant coach for some time, so I thought he may have seen the year out. But this is only talk. It's not official at this stage, so we don't know.
Yeah, well, I think the big thing is, I think a lot of it, you can't blame Todd Payton. He's more, the situation's been dumped on him. Just over the weekend, obviously, good win for the Raiders over the Roosters. The Storm and the Tigers had big wins, and obviously St George on Saturday. So there were some great games out there on Saturday.
The whole weekend looked good, didn't it, mate? Well, I mean, we had three blowouts, sure, including the Warriors. We had three big blowouts, but we had five tight games where they were really competitive, and it all started on Thursday night with the Roosters and the Raiders. I thought that was a great game to start the weekend, and it was a gutsy win by the Raiders, because I still rate the Roosters to be the team to beat it by the end of the year. So it was a really good win, and they're proving pretty hard to beat at the moment, the Raiders, when they're on song. The next game, of course, was Storm. With the return of Cameron Munster really helped the Storm, and they're also looking a pretty handy outfit in beating the Titans. I think it was 42-6.
Well, I think what Cameron Munster gives him takes the pressure off Cameron Smith as well too. It gives Jerome Hughes more movement. So, yeah, I think they add a lot. I think the Storm are looking very, very good. Obviously, the games on Saturday were outstanding. Them two games with the Knights and the Sea Eagles, so it was just some really tight games, and quite impressed with Daly Terry Evans for Manly on Saturday, Frank.
Well, didn't they open up good? You know, they put points on the Eels before the Eels were still on the coach. They're still on the bus. I can't remember. I think it was something like, was it 20-0 at one stage?
Yeah, I can't believe it. I was flicking around the channels after I'd obviously been watching a bit of Super Rugby, so I flicked over to watch that game, and I was absolutely gobsmacked at what was happening, because we'd heard so many good things about the Chiefs and what am I talking about? The Eels. And I'm with the rugby league people are probably going to lynch me now when I walk out of the studio, and I was really looking forward to seeing how this young kid from Auckland, Dylan Brown, how he looks. But I have to say that Manly were just outstanding, and obviously the other game. Of course, the Knights had a very, very good one. So there were two really close games. Obviously, the Warriors was a blowout, but Penrith are now leading the table, and you've got to say something. Nathan Cleary, isn't he such an outstanding footballer?
Oh, what a prospect he is! He, not just kicking goals, but scoring tries and setting tries up and try assists. He's a great little player, and he's certainly got some of his old man in him, hasn't he?
Absolutely.
That was a tough performance by the Panthers. It wasn't a perfect performance, but, you know, the good sides, even when they play average, can still win, and that's what they did.
Yeah, well, I think that they proved what a good side they are, and it was great to see Dean Farre back from injury. Hearing what the Fox commentators said, that he has such good defence there, and obviously for the Kiwis, obviously we're hoping that we get a bit of international rugby league this year for the Kiwis. But if you're picking a state of origin side now, obviously your number seven would have to be Nathan Cleary.
I'd agree with that. I would agree wholeheartedly. He's really the informed player at the moment. And they missed him when he was out for that two-week period. He was suspended. So pleased to get him back. And they're worthy number one spot, on the number one spot at the moment. It'll be interesting to see if they can go on with it. I think they can. They're showing, they seem to me to be a happy side that look like playing for each other, and that's what wins games. So I think the happiest person in the NRL at the moment, Amon, would be Michael Maguire, the Tigers coach, not just because of that thrashing of the Broncos, because it was yeah, just they annihilated them, but by seeing the form of the Kiwis in the NRL at the moment when he picks his Kiwi side. Some of the New Zealand players are outstanding at the moment.
I tell you something, you know, obviously we're unsure what's going to happen, whether we're going to have an international against Tonga or Fiji. This obviously now we live in this post-COVID world, but I really would love to see us have a free test series or against Australia. I reckon we'd push them close, Frank.
I think so too. I think that we've got some really good informed players that are getting more experience by the day. And I think he's going to have a good squad to pick from. And as I say, I think he'd be the happiest man in the NRL at the moment.
And obviously we've both spoken about this on the phone. I know that you rate him as a coach. I rate him as a coach. I would say he's probably one of the best coaches within the NRL. At the moment, you're probably looking at some very, very good coaches, like obviously Craig Bellamy. He's proven. Ivan Cleary has really shown his goods. Trent Robinson at the Roosters is good. But Michael Maguire, I think, is quite an outstanding coach. And you look what he's got at the West Tigers. He doesn't have the talent of, say, the Roosters or the Storm, or possibly the Panthers.
100% correct. And that's where you look at a coach, you know, with what he's dealing with. And, he's had some good wins this year, and he's going to have a few more. I've seen him in action close hand, and from one coach to another, I rate him highly. I think he's mostly the best coach going around at the moment, along with Bellamy, because you look at Trent Robinson, he's doing great, but when you look at his roster, you'd expect him to go great. But the other two, very good coaches.
Absolutely, Frank. So we've got a few games coming up next week. Which game are you looking forward to? I'll tell you one game I am not looking forward to is the Warriors-Roosters.
Well, I was just going to say, I haven't looked as far as next week yet, but I do know that the Warriors are playing the Roosters, and one thing about the Warriors, and geez, I hope they back this statement up, is that when they come against a good team, they can actually up their performance. Now, look, even if they're not expected to win that game next week, but if they go out there and make a real good effort of it and get beat, you know, no one's going to get upset about it. But if they turn over, you've got to remember that there's four players that are going home after the Roosters match. So, you know, wouldn't you think they'd all line up and really play for each other in that game against the Roosters and cause a major upset? I hope so.
Yeah. Absolutely, Frank. You really would hope so. You hope that they've still got that pride left in the side. I can tell you what, the Thursday night game's going to be a cracker this week. It's going to be the Eels versus the Tigers. Now, who are you picking?
Well, again, that's going to be a close one because all local derbies are close. Where's it played? Bankwest?
Parramatta Stadium.
Yeah, that'll help Parramatta. But look, I'd go Parramatta unders. A very close game. But nothing would surprise me if the Tigers come up and beat them.
I'm actually going to go for the Tigers. I think they're coming into a rich vein of form. I tell you what, when's the next time you're in Auckland, Frank?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I'll hop on a plane and come up at some stage, and I'll let you know when I do, but it's not in the near future.
Yeah, well, obviously we'll have a bet on this game. We'll have a bet of an ale of your choice. I'm going to go for the West Tigers 12 and under.
Yeah, and I'll go Parramatta 12 and under. How's that?
Okay, Frank. We'll just get a bit of music on. Welcome, everyone, back to the Sports Review. Obviously, obviously that was a bit of a classic by Led Zeppelin. And I'll just put out a plug for our sponsor for today, which is Robert Thompson of Barford and Thompson, Epsom Branch. Obviously, when you're trying to get people on the show, it does become difficult. And I really did have found it hard trying to get someone to speak to me about a bit of EPL and a little bit about the Phoenix and the A-League. I've just about tried every expert and obviously haven't been able to get there. But I've got a young man, a very impressive young man. He is he's the captain of Sacred Heart First 11. He was the captain of the Eastern Suburbs youth team in the National Youth League. And he's I know his parents really well. His mother's a lovely lady, a Manchester United supporter. His father, not a bad bloke, bit of a rat bag, but 2-1 Liverpool. And unfortunately, it's rubbed a bit off on Jake. Good afternoon, Jake. Welcome to the show, mate.
Good afternoon, Peggy. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, that's okay. Obviously, I suppose I'd better get this out of the way right now. Obviously, the big thing is that Liverpool, obviously, they an EPL. I had a few cold lemonades with your old man celebrating. But obviously, they were the best team within the Premier League and well-deserved.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think this year their level of consistency, they kept it up from last season. And I think other teams like Man City weren't able to sort of maintain that form. And that's why they've run away with it. They've run away with it quite early, actually.
Sure. And obviously, they'll be doing Manchester United a huge favour if they beat Leicester. They could be doing this week. I really hope that they can do us a huge favour.
Yeah, well, I mean, recent form might suggest that could be a bit of an iffy game. I think ever since that became official that they won the league, I don't know, maybe you could call it a bit of a hangover period after celebrations. But, yeah, they definitely, for Man United's sake, that top four race is looking pretty interesting between them, Chelsea, and, of course, Leicester.
So yeah, well, obviously Leicester had a 3-0 loss to Spurs. So, and obviously there was the FA Cup over the weekend. Arsenal 2, Manchester City 0. And, of course, I didn't really want to put this result out there, but Chelsea 3, Manchester United 1.
Yeah.
I've seen David De Gea, some of his keeping. For a guy that was once the best goalkeeper in the world, I don't know what has happened this season.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't tell you there either. I think, it used to be like he would pull off worldie saves all the time and even, I think he still does from time to time. I just think he's let basic errors kind of creep into his game a little bit. I don't know, maybe he got a little bit complacent or it's just... It could just be, that form has slowly gone down. But I think, for Man United fans, it's obviously a bit of a worry. But they might be looking at, obviously, bringing back their young academy boy, Dean Henderson, back from Sheffield.
Yeah, he's had an outstanding season. An absolutely outstanding season. Okay, so obviously, whether Manchester, it's surprising. Like, I know what they're saying in some of the forums are Manchester United, they're concentrating on getting the third or fourth spot in Champions League, but that obviously Chelsea are in the same position. So Frank Lampard, I think, has done an outstanding job with Chelsea this year with limited funds.
Yeah, I think Frank Lampard's been excellent as well. He might have been actually sort of what Chelsea needed to get them going and in a new kind of direction, because obviously they used to be about just bringing in elite players, spending big money to win the big trophies. And now, it's sort of, can we bring in our younger players? Can we get them through? Which is always really, really positive for English football, for those young English boys coming through.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're Gareth Southgate, you must be waiting for international football to come back, because there's so many good young players that are coming through Chelsea. There's so many good young players, the academy players like the Mason Greenwood's coming from Manchester United. You've got Sancho over at Borussia Dortmund. So yeah, just on the race for the Champions League, I've really got this feeling that I think it's going to come down to the final week for the Champions League's place, and I just have this feeling that Leicester are going to bottle it.
I was looking at the fixtures and I was looking at form, and I, even though obviously Man United had a disappointing result this morning against Chelsea, I still think that they'll probably be able to make it come right, and I think that Leicester's last two games in particular, they make it very, you know, very challenging. And I think that you're right. I think Leicester might just miss at this time. I think Chelsea will be okay. I think it definitely comes down between Man United and Leicester. And obviously,
and that's the game next week. That's basically a shootout.
Yeah, final game of the season. I think that game will be for fourth place. It'll be like a final, you know?
Absolutely. And, of course, we'll move on. Obviously, Leeds United have been promoted to the Premier League from the Championship. We've obviously got three teams fighting for the automatic promotion spot, which is West Bromwich Albion, Brentford and Fulham.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's one's going to be a difficult one to call. Obviously, Brentford and West Brom both slipped up, and obviously Fulham's caught them up. That's a tough one to call. I'd really like to see Brentford go up because they've obviously using the perceived money ball policy, which is basically they basically sign players on statistics, more on reputation, so they've actually saved a bit of money there.
Yeah, well, Brentford have been quite impressive because they've scored a lot of goals this season compared to other teams. They've been a very, very high-scoring team, and I think that, you know, they have a good chance in the Premier League because you need, as a team coming up, you need to have a proven way of scoring goals. Obviously, step up and level, like in terms of the defenders you're coming up against, will be different, but I think that gives them a decent chance, and I'd like to see them come up as well. Obviously, Leeds, congratulations to them. You know, that's...
Our old mate Rocky will be happy. Our old mate Rocky, yeah, he'll be very, very happy. In fact, he's probably still celebrating the year. We'll just move on to a couple of things. I did watch a bit of the Phoenix game. Obviously a 3-1 loss to Sydney City. To be quite honest with you, at most parts of the game, they were all over them. What was your take from the game?
I thought that in terms of, in general, the game, I think that, you know, Phoenix have... They showed what they've shown for most of the season, and I think they've been pretty solid for most of the season. I just think that Sydney, there's a reason that they're on the top of the table, and good teams, you know, I mean, it's a saying that always happens, but good teams, even if they're not playing at their absolute maximum and not playing at their best, they get the job done. They find a way to win matches, and, you know, they turned it around, you know, scored, obviously, their goals in the second half. And, you know, that's obviously something that a lot of our Phoenix boys, some of the younger ones that, you know, you can learn from.
Yeah, I think they're pretty, like they're very, very, very outstanding. Obviously, the news coming out of the Phoenix, Libby Kadachi, looks like he will be making a Europe move. The rumour has it it's either to a club in Belgium or either to the Netherlands. He's been outstanding for them, Jake. He's only 19 years of age. He's probably been probably their best player this season, along with Davila. And probably a guy I thought that's been outstanding for them has been David Ball as well, too.
Yeah, I'd agree with you definitely on the first two. I think that Liberato Kakachi has been very good this season. You know, I've watched a lot of the Phoenix games, and I've gone to watch them when they've come to play up in Auckland. And I think that for anyone who wants to sort of look at becoming a fullback, you know, he is someone that the New Zealand boys especially, you should be watching. He's so, so good. I feel like each week he's improving, or he's helping the team out, and he's not just a young player in the team now. He's a really influential player, I think.
Absolutely, and I think the big thing is that a prospect of another young New Zealander playing in a good league in Europe is it all goes well for New Zealand football. Danny Hay must be absolutely wrapped. How did he go at the weekend? How did he play at the weekend? Were you playing central?
I've been involved in obviously my school first 11, and yep. I've been playing reserve football, and then when I can not play for school on the weekend, then I can try and play in the first team. So our first team beat Central 2-0, actually had a really, really encouraging result. I thought they played really, really well throughout the whole game, and the improvement on last week in particular was second half. They managed to keep up the performance levels that they had in the first half, took their chances well, I think. I think Central, some big players who, you know, I've seen play unreal, you know, like Emiliano Tade obviously played professional. Albert Riera played professional at the Phoenix, even. Angel Belanga, you know, like lots of players like that. Dylan Mannequins, were going to be really dangerous, didn't turn out to be as dangerous as I thought. Cam Howson as well, another one. Jordy Vale. But Brian Kaltek, I thought he was very good for Central. Thought he was a bit of a beast, actually. Yeah. But obviously, Suggs took the chance as well and did well.
Okay, well, that's fantastic, Jake. That, obviously, I think we've found a very, very good football pundit in Jake Moosebali. Mini Moose, as I call him. I'll tell you what, you've done a hell of a lot more better than your old man has, because, first of all, you have been basically balanced and not one-eyed, which is good. Okay, so that was Jake Moosebali. We'll just get a bit of music there playing. And obviously, I'll just have a quick word to you off air, Jake. So, yeah, I'll give you a call straight after it.
Waiting for you.
that was year two with Whiffle Without You. Now it's our fun part of the show. It's our panel. And on the line we have two very, 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 very special guests. First of all, Mr. Sean Summerfield, former TV3 sports presenter and host of the CRC Motorsport Show. Welcome, Sean.
G'day, mate. Good to catch up.
Yeah, good to catch up. We haven't seen each other in a while. I did used to do my walking past there, past Gill Traps when I was going past there. I was trying to, you know, obviously I was like sand moving, very, very slow.
We saw your fingerprints on the window outside the Lamborghini showroom, actually.
Oh, damn. It wasn't me. Okay, next up is a man that I personally think was perfect on road. One of the A perfect radio host, the man that calls it the way he sees it, Mark Watson. Welcome to the show, mate.
Yeah, good afternoon. Welcome, Sean. Hello.
G'day, Mark. I tell you, I spent years being jealous. As a sports reporter, you've got to play it straight and report, and I was also jealous of you being able to have an opinion.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, though, Sean. I'm not sure it actually even got me too far. I'm just not sure New Zealand was quite ready for it. I hope in time we sort of move in that direction, because all I do is see media company after media company and their share price is slowly sort of falling over, and I'm thinking, man, where is the engagement these days? People want a train wreck, Sean.
Mate, you could have bought stuff.
Well, hey, you guys, it's my show. Stop this. Oh. You know, yeah, come on. I'm the train wreck running the show. Hey, just quickly, thanks for coming on the show. We're going to start it. First thing, Super Rugby review. What do you guys think of it?
How you go, Sean?
As a born and bred Cantab, I'm going to say I was a bit gutted about the Blues going down, but a lot of excitement in the house. My daughter's a big fan of the Barrett boys. They changed their mind as to who was playing better. So I got to say, Geordie walked away the winner there, but that was a heck of a game on Saturday night. I'm gutted because I wanted to see a Super Rugby final. In other words, who the Crusaders would play. But by golly, yesterday, I could not believe it. This Highlanders team that, you know, compared to the other teams, is not a whole lot of names. And, man, Mitchell Hunt and Aaron Smith, what a pairing. Smith's probably their only real big name there. By golly, what a second half.
Fantastic. And what about you, Mark?
Yeah, look, I quite like the concept. I think post-COVID it's been the right thing. We wanted some sport. I think the big games in the old format of Super Rugby, it was always the local derbies, wasn't it? It was always the New Zealand games, which seemed to garner the most interest. You could say maybe it's perhaps a little manufactured, maybe there's not a lot of meaning in it. I think in the long term, it would be nice to have some Australian teams in it. I have no problem with South Africa exiting the competition, because I just think it needs to have more than five to give it some credibility. In terms of what I've seen so far, look, great to see the Blues sort of slowly starting to fulfill that word potential, where in the past I think it was always sort of potential retirement. I clearly think that Leon McDonald's really brought a bit of a no-nonsense type mentality to the organisation. I think that's been sort of really signalled with Akira Rawani and how he was dropped for Hoskins at 2-2, etc. So that's on a positive. Warren Gatland probably been slightly disappointing in terms of what he's done with the Chiefs, but I'm not sure they've necessarily had the cattle at this point in the competition. I guess the thing that still frustrates me a little bit, I'd still like to see players playing in position. I'd still like to see Barrett playing at 10, and I'd actually like to see Jack Goodhue playing at centre rather than at second 5-8.
I
have looked forward to both occasions on Saturday night and Sunday afternoon.
Now, talking about train wrecks, had to bring this one up, the Warriors.
Hey, sorry, before you go to that, Tim, I just want to get your opinion, guys. Yep. Thinking of players playing out of position, I was watching the Hurricanes, and the guy in the 9 jersey, he looked like a centre. What is the story with Perenara?
He's also played at first 5-8 as well, too, and he actually didn't look too bad, yeah.
He's too big. God.
Listen, Sean, I'm a big guy even though I'm 5 foot nothing. Well, big outwardly.
No, but I think Sean makes a point. One of my big frustrations, I think, with these guys, I think they actually end up spending too much time in the gym. And I think they bulk up too much. And sometimes you lose a little bit of that X factor that's got you there. I mean, Joe Rockefoco, by the end of his career, terms of the, you know, muscle in the legs, Christian Cullen the same. And I think you've just got to be careful sometimes that, yes, you've got to find that balance between maintaining that X factor, i.e. that ability to get off the mark quickly or whatever those little traits are required for your position versus the size thing. I mean, Damien McKenzie's not a big guy. He survives. I'm not sure that we need to, you know, I think sometimes we put too much emphasis on size.
Yeah, we certainly do. Obviously,
trying to avoid the Warriors.
Well, I was going to say, do we want to just skip the Warriors because it was that?
Oh, you know what, guys? I actually went and looked at the numbers because I wanted to find. I've given up on it. I'll say that here. But I thought, how bad are they? And I looked at, you know, where their stats are compared to the Panthers, and I thought, gosh, there's not much difference in their completion rates and their play at the ball speed. Then I had a look at the Warriors to see if they were the worst in any of the negative stats. They're only the fifth worst in missed tackles, so the 12th worst in errors, the 9th worst in handling errors, and 10th in penalties conceded. So they're missing at the wrong point, or they're a level of bad that can't be recorded in statistics. What's going on?
I think they're not playing off the structure. That's what I can say. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, firstly, I think we've got to, when we start picking players for the Warriors, first thing we've got to stop doing, stop trying to be a development team for New Zealand Rugby League. I think the NRL does that generally. I mean, I don't care, to be perfectly honest, if I've got 13 Australians in this team. I just want to see a Warriors team win, if that's the case. I think their definition of talent, when they're identifying talent, needs to be far broader rather than just physical size and, you know, your ability over 10 metres. I think you've got to start looking at coachability. I think you've got to look at, I always say this, that the greatest ingredient any sportsman can have is passion and desire, and the only way you truly test that is putting them in an adverse situation. And I wonder whether with players' associations and so many people around them and coaches needing to defend their position in teams, that when these guys do fall over, there's too many excuses made for them. But the other thing too is, you've got to understand,
no, you're dead on there.
Professionalism is a state of mind, and that's where this team's got to move to. They've got to understand it's more than a paycheck.
I worked with a reporter, a great league reporter, and he was pissed off at Ivan Cleary when the last time they made the Premier final, grand final, because he's just made a team to make the final. He hasn't thought of the future because he was leaving the next year. And I thought, oh my God, don't you play to win that year? But I've never worked out how a team that's won that the junior competition three times, it never equated to a premiership. I think that the rot goes back a long way.
Yeah, I have to say, just looking at it, it's a total, basically, it's a total disaster. Guys, what caught your notice over the weekend in the sporting world? Obviously, Sean, you would have been looking at the V8 supercars.
Yeah, I was. I mean, that weird thing where they limited tyres. There was 3:32 lap races at Eastern Creek, two sets of softs, three sets of hards. It's not enough. So basically, it was like you pick your joker. So Scott McLaughlin won the first race. He ended up winning the round. He got third in the second race. His team set their goal for the final race. We hope to get about eight. They went into the race with that attitude. And when you've got a two-time champion back-to-back, and that's the goal for the race, I'm sorry, you've got a problem. And winning that race doesn't mean enough. But that said, it gave some other guys a chance to stand on the podium. But I'm just not a fan of these sort of constructed victories. That said, though, at least there was some competition, unlike Formula One. Hamilton winning again. And I've got to say, the Kiwis brought Liam Lawson two engine blow-ups in Formula 3. So really disappointing. He was looking good. His race pace is really good. And Marcus Armstrong crashed in the first race, finished down a ninth in the sprint race, so no points for him. But that was the motorsport there in 42 seconds, guys.
I'll tell you what, I have been checking that, Liam Lawson. What caught your attention at the weekend?
Look, the one thing that I probably follow more so than anything these days is actually still English Premier League football, and there's so many things going on. I'm a Liverpool guy, so that sort of narrative, I guess, has sort of already been told. They have won the league, but there's the argument, who's going to make the other three spots for the Champions League? Then you've got those that are desperately trying to make the UEFA Cup, which is the second-tier European competition. And then at the bottom of the table, you've got the likes, you know, those teams that are just simply trying to stay up. Now, clearly Norwich are gone, but I sort of really keen to see Bournemouth stay up. It's looking like they will get relegated as well, unfortunately. Bournemouth, who I think about 10 years ago were 20 minutes away from being out of division football full stop. I mean, we were talking the fourth tier, and then under their manager, Eddie Howe, sort of went all the way through to getting to the Premier League. They got the smallest ground. And I don't know, there's something about me, I sort of like to see that underdog do well. So, look, I think this, and we also had the FA Cup semi-finals over the weekend, and it's going to end up being sort of an Arsenal-Chelsea final rather than a Manchester City-Manchester United, which could well have been. Now, I guess what takes a little bit of the gloss off is clearly not playing in front of crowds and the atmosphere. But it's just such a wonderful competition because there are, as I say, and I think it's
absolutely
one thing on rugby lacks, there are just so many narratives that go on in English Premier League to make you excited, to get you talking, whether it be manager versus manager, player versus player, team versus team, or fans on fans.
And I tell you what's getting people excited, listen to Mark Watson. Mark and Sean, I have to say thanks a lot for your contribution today. Well, that's a wrap from me. First show out of the way. This is the best sports show this side of Kathmandu and Timbuktu, and it's the only sports show that's on a Monday.